Early in 1797, a small French force landed in Wales, apparently hoping that the local population would flock to support them. Within a matter of hours, the French surrendered. But the landing provoked a run on the banks, and the Bank of England halted payment in specie. Local authorities in the West Country were concerned about the antics of strangers, and requested a government agent to investigate two young men in the Bristol region. A government agent called James Walsh was dispatched. He reported that he could find nothing suspicious in the behaviour of the young men concerned, and so the poets Wordsworth and Coleridge were left to get on with their spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. However, within weeks, there was a genuinely alarming and potentially very serious event. The Home Fleet mutinied.
As a top man and an after guard was a-walking one day, send the top man to the after guard, I mean for to pray, for the rights of all sailors and the wrongs of all men. And whatever I do pray for, you must answer, Amen. First I'll pray for the bo'sun with his little stick. He bawls out all hands and then gives us a lick. Strikes many a brave fellow and kicks him amain. May the devil double triple damn him, says the after guard, Amen.
The cause of the mutiny was rooted in late pay and the appalling conditions for the crews of warships. The government reacted with concessions, but not quickly enough. The ship's crews at Spithead were eventually won over by the concessions and the promises, but those at the Nore in the Thames remained suspicious. The crews at the Nore appear to have had popular radicals among them, or at least men who had absorbed radical literature.
Shall we, who in the battle's sanguinary rage confound, terrify, and subdue your proudest foe, guard your coast from invasion, your children from slaughter, and your lands from pillage, be the footballs and shuttlecocks of a set of tyrants who derive from us alone their titles and their fortunes? No, the age of reason has at length revolved. Long have we been endeavouring to find ourselves men. We now find ourselves so. We will be treated as such.
Then I'll pray for them navy officers who hold up our due. We are owed 3 years' wages and prize money too. Well, it's you can't have it yet, Jack. Try next voyage again. May the devil double triple damn him, says the after guard, Amen.
Some of the ship's delegates at the Nore considered sailing their ships over to France, but in the event, the mutiny was suppressed and ferocious punishments followed. In the following year, an attempt was made to foment new mutinies in the Navy, and a group of radicals were found on the Kent coast seeking a ship to France and carrying messages for the French government. A new treason trial followed, but only one of the defendants, an Irish priest named James Quigley, was found guilty and executed. Again, rumours of conspiracies circulated, and again the government responded with arrests and a new suspension of the Habeas Corpus Act. About 36 men were held without charge for between 2 and 3 years. The last were released when the Peace of Amiens brought a temporary respite to the war with France. But the short period of peace was punctuated with the exposure of a conspiracy within the Brigade of Guards in London. In February 1803, Colonel Edward Marcus Despard, a former comrade in arms of the national hero, Admiral Lord Nelson, was executed for high treason, along with 6 others, including two guardsmen. Historians argue about Despard's conspiracy. Was it part of a wider conspiracy across the British Isles, or was it principally linked only with Irish radicals?